Right, we're going to read tonight from God's Word, and we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the story of King Uzziah. And probably, and I hope in many ways you are, you're thinking to yourself, hello, didn't he speak about Uzziah last time that he spoke to us? And you'd be dead right. On the 24th of October last year, I began a Bible study on King Uzziah, and it was my intention then to actually speak about the last part of Uzziah's life, but I spent so much time on the first part of Uzziah's life that I never got round to saying anything about the second part. Well, never being one to waste a good Bible study, I've decided to finish it off tonight. At least I hope I shall. In fact, I've even added to it since last October, so we'll just see how far I get tonight. So it's 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecholiah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought God the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath. He built the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Mernites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men, who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jehiel the scribe and Manasseh the officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valour was 2,600, and under their hand was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armour, bows and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skilful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvellously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 men of the Lord, who were valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah, and said to him, It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honour from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Well, as I said earlier, I have already dealt with the first part of this, I suppose, from verses 1 to 15, and it's not my intention tonight to go over that passage again, except to just outline to give really just the points that I made, because they are important, as we shall see later on. They're important to our understanding of the downfall of this great king, King Uzziah, who was king of Judah about 750 years or so before Christ. It was a time of great prosperity, a time, you might say, where there was a golden age for the land of Judah. And he reigned for 52 years. So you can see that he made a great impact on the land of Judah. By then, of course, the northern kingdom had gone its own way. But you'll remember perhaps that I said that Uzziah was pious. He learned about God, he obeyed God, and he sought God. But not only was he pious, he was also prosperous. He was prosperous militarily, diplomatically, industrially, economically and agriculturally. We also saw that it was whilst he sought God that God prospered him more and more. Everything that he had, he owed to God. It wasn't the result of his own efforts, although the outsider may have thought that it was. But one result of that prosperity, and I suppose you could also say his piety, was that he was a blessing to his people. As I said, it was a golden age in the history of Judah. I referred to Uzziah then as Uzziah the Saint. But now we see a very, very, very different Uzziah. One, we might say, Uzziah the sinner. And Uzziah is a tragic person. He's a great man, brought low, not by the enemy, not by people outside, not by people even within Judah, but by his own fault. And it's as though the first part of his life, this time of prosperity, had just been swept aside in a moment. and his end is very different from his beginning, and indeed very different from what it could have been. The tragedy is that the more God prospered Uzziah, not that that was in itself a tragedy, but the more that God prospered Uzziah, the more he became prouder and prouder. Uzziah was pious, which led him to becoming prosperous, which ironically led him to being proud. And as we shall see, that led him, by the way of other sins, to be punished. Now, there's nothing wrong, as I've perhaps intimated already, with being pious and prosperous. But his attitude towards them grew to be wrong. In verse 16, the whole tone of the story changes. Where was once we read of Uzziah's piety and prosperity, now we read of Uzziah's pride. Whereas once it was Uzziah the saint, now it's Uzziah the sinner. Uzziah's sin, though, was not just pride, as we shall see. Pride was the beginning, but as we shall see, it showed itself in other ways also. Now, the first part of Uzziah's sin was pride. We are told in verses 15 and 16, "So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvellously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up." To put it another way, the greater he got, the prouder he got. And his bank balance got, statements got blacker and blacker, so his heart got redder and redder. It was pride that led to his downfall. It was the root of his downfall, besides being in itself sinful. And pride is, of course, having a greater opinion of oneself than one deserves, or indeed we ought to have. It is having a greater opinion of oneself and being pleased about it, and perhaps even to the point where you begin to look down on people. It can, of course, take many forms. You might be quite right in your analysis of yourself. You might well consider yourself and be truly correct in saying that you're richer, you're cleverer, that your status in society is better than other people. That's just being honest with yourself. But what is wrong, or can be wrong, is your attitude towards it. Pride is a terrible sin, and the Bible condemns it. A haughty look, a proud heart are sin, we read in Proverbs, and there's no getting around it. And the end of pride is destruction. And we should not be surprised that that was how it ended with Uzziah. And we're not told in Proverbs that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And verse 16, going back to that, describes his destruction, and you know, his end as destruction. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And what was it lifted up to? It was lifted up to his destruction. Uzziah's pride had its roots in material blessing and material wealth, and they can be a snare to any Christian. The familiar words in Mark, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Agar in Proverbs, you know, he did not want riches, lest he be full and deny God and say, "Where is the Lord? I've got all these things for myself, but from my own efforts, my own wisdom and so forth. Where is the Lord? He didn't give them to me." No, Agar didn't want that. Uzziah's pride may have had its roots in material blessing, but it showed itself also in the spiritual realm. And even spiritual prosperity can be a snare to the Christian. And very often, it's that which is the greatest snare for most Christians today, certainly. We can become puffed up, perhaps, with our own importance in the church, with our own knowledge, with our own abilities. And we may be true that we are very gifted or have some standing in the church, but we must never become proud of those things. We must never look down upon our fellow Christians and despise them. We should never be proud because we can do something better than other people. It may be true we can, but that is something, but being proud of those things is something that we should never ever be. We are to thank God for the gifts that he has given us, and we are to make sure, as Paul says, that nothing is done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. And every Christian is beholden to look at himself and see whether he has the seeds of pride in his heart. Jeremiah warns us, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. That's spiritual blessing, spiritual understanding, his wisdom. Don't glory in it. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Those things which we can do, which perhaps others can't do or so on, but we're not to glory in them. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, the material things which God has given us. So the root of Uzziah's sin was his pride, and we must be careful that we do not fall into the same sin. But Uzziah's pride gave birth to him transgression, trespassing rather. It's also transgression, but that's not what scripture says. Verse 16 again. You know, he trespassed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You see, his attitude led to action. And that's something which very often we forget. The way we think affects the way we behave. So we've got to be careful, just as Uzziah should have been careful. And so we find that Uzziah went in to the place where the altar of incense was kept. And we find him in verse 19, for instance, before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Now, I'm sure there's no need to tell you, but you remember the farthest room, the second room in the temple proper, as it were, or in the tabernacle, if you're more familiar with that, was the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. But directly in front of that room was the holy place. And there was on one side the great candlestick, on the other side the table of showbread, and then right facing the door, as it were, was the altar of incense. Now the point I'm trying to make here is that Uzziah shouldn't have been in that place. It seems that only the priests are allowed to go into that place. And here was Uzziah the king going into it. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't even a Levite. And there he was, going into the place where he should not have been. And if he had not been there, perhaps he would never have fallen into the greater sin, as we shall see later on. And if we can learn from this, it is that we should avoid those places where we are going to be tempted, and things that will encourage us to sin. You know, we want to pick a rather perhaps one example of this, just to illustrate what I'm getting at. We might say, well, you know, if we're tempted to get drunk, then don't go to the pub or the off licence. And it's no good going thinking to yourself, well, of course, you know I could be tempted, but, well, I'm not going to. I'm just going to stick on the Coca-Cola all night. Well, perhaps very often, despite our best resolve, you know, by the time the end of the evening comes, we're on to the rum and cokes, aren't we? And we're, you know, and we end up being drunk. Well, don't go there if we're going to be tempted, if you're going to be tempted to sin. Sometimes, you know, we can flirt with sin, can't we? You know, we go to see how far we can go without actually sinning. You know, we're almost like moths, aren't we? You know, we circle the lit candle, and we get closer and closer to the flame, and we dart out, we come back, and we dart out, and so on. And of course, what happens, you know, is the time comes when the moth goes too close to the flame, and it's burnt and killed. And often, of course, the heart of man is so wicked that we can be where we are, where we ought not to be, or doing what we ought not to do, hoping that, you know, we're going to accidentally, on purpose, fall into sin. And that is what we can be like. We must avoid even the first step towards sin, so that we can be holy. But Uzziah wanted to sin. He went to the place where he could sin, and there he sinned against the Lord his God, in verse 16, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, Uzziah was king. He was of the tribe of Judah. And it was only the tribe of Levi that ministered in the temple. And having said that, it was only the high priest, one of the sons of Aaron, who could offer incense on the altar of incense. God had forbidden anyone else to do it. Even a holy Levite couldn't do it. It had to be the high priest. And God has said to Aaron, and I quote the NIV here, only you and your sons may serve as priests in connection with everything at the altar and inside the curtain. Uzziah was excluded from those duties. And one can only wonder what was going through Uzziah's mind. You know, did he think that the rules of God did not apply to him? You know, some people get so puffed up, don't they, by their own prominence either in the world or even in the church. And I'm really, I suppose, speaking to the church here, to Christians. You know, some people get so puffed up, for instance, by their own importance, that somehow or another they think that the laws of God do not apply to them. They can tell other people, you know, to obey the laws of God, but, well, somehow they can't be like that. You know, they can't do that. You know, and it's interesting when you, if you ever look at these programs about the sins of celebrities, and they comment on them, that they sometimes say that, you know, they behave as though rules and laws just don't apply to them, that they're above them. Napoleon Bonaparte thought like that. On one occasion, he said that the laws of morals and of customs were never made for me. Well, perhaps as Christians, we don't go that far, but sometimes we can be tainted with that attitude. Did he think that God would not mind him offering incense? Such a prohibition was okay for lesser kings, but not for him. And even if God did object, well, so what? Uzziah was a good king. Uzziah was a great king. And God would somehow just let it pass, overlook it. And perhaps he may have even thought, well, God needed him. God wouldn't punish him. Never think that. Did he think that if foreign heathen kings could offer incense to their gods, then couldn't he do the same? After all, wasn't he greater than, well, most of them, certainly in the surrounding countries, he was greater than them. Yeah, sometimes we can get our standards, can't we, from the world, from non-Christians. We can see how non-Christians behave, and we think that we can do the same, perhaps even think we've got a right to do the same. After all, other people do it. Everybody, you know, fiddles their taxes and lies and does this and does that. Why can't I do the same? And sometimes it's a very sad thing that we are slow to learn from history. Surely Uzziah knew the king Saul, for instance, when King Saul had sacrificed animals to God, even though he shouldn't have. God had taken his kingdom away from him. He knew that Jeroboam the first, king of Israel, had been punished by God when he had offered incense on the altar, and just as he was about to do. And even worse when we think that we can disregard the commands of God for one reason or another. God had given us commands so that we will know what is right. And if we then go ahead and ignore those rules and break them, then we cannot be surprised if we reap the terrible consequences. You often hear that people say that rules were made to be broken. Well, you can argue that about the laws of this country, but there's one thing that's true, that when God makes the rule, it's not to be broken. And it doesn't matter who we are, whether we're king, prime minister, you know, a high court judge or a policeman or someone important in society. It doesn't matter whether we're a pastor or an elder or a deacon, a Sunday school teacher or a youth club leader or what. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how important we are in the church. We must obey the laws of God. It doesn't matter how unimportant we are in the church. You know, we might do the meanest job, most meanest task in the church, but we still got to obey the laws of God. No one is exempt. No one is permitted to ignore the commands of God. Never become proud and think that you can do what you want. God will not hold you guiltless if you sin against him. We may be the nicest, we may be the best liked person in the church, that we're held up above all others. We may be the most important or the most hard working, but we are still under the word of God. So, we now actually come to the results of his pride. We saw that he was proud, we saw that he was in the wrong place, we've seen that he was attempting to offer. And now we see, attempting to offer incense, and now we see him angry and resisting God. In verses 17 and 18, we see Uzziah being interrupted by Azariah the priest and 80 other priests, and we're told that they were valiant men. It took a lot of courage to do what they had done. But we must be valiant for the truth. We must stand up against wrong in society, but also, of course, in the church. It's not an easy thing to do, but we must be valiant to do so. But we also find him being furious with the priests in verse 19. Instead of responding in a spirit of humility and repentance, he's angry. And that word furious comes from the word boiling. And one commentator says it implies raging like a storm. Another says that the essential idea is almost foaming at the mouth. There was Uzziah. It went berserk. He'd lost it completely. His heart was set on doing what he wanted to do, and now he was angry and resented any attempt to stop him doing what he wanted to do. His reaction should have been very different. God, in love and patience, had given him time to repent, to get out of the temple, but no. Uzziah squandered the opportunity by becoming furious with the priests and abusing them verbally. If he had taken the opportunity to escape, then he may have gone without being punished. He should have immediately obeyed Uzziah's words. Those words were not to hurt him, but to warn him, and could have been a blessing to him if he had heeded them. We read again in Proverbs that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Uzziah should have reacted differently, but his heart was proud. As far as he was concerned, neither God nor priest was going to tell him what to do. And that is one of the troubles with sin. It makes us want to go on sinning. I suppose none of us really like to be corrected. But if we recognise that the words of another are right, the rebuke is right, then we must accept it and obey and change from our wicked ways. Well, we thought of Uzziah's piety and prosperity, we thought of his pride, but now we come perhaps to the last section of this, his punishment. And here we see Uzziah struck down with leprosy because of his sin, and it was the judgment of God upon Uzziah for his actions. God punished Uzziah by giving him leprosy on his forehead. On his forehead for all to see. It was clear to obvious that here was a leprous man. Here was a sinful man, as probably many would have assumed. And someone has remarked that it's ironical that Uzziah had tried to act the role of the high priest, and instead of having "Holy unto the Lord" written on his forehead, he had the mark of leprosy, proclaiming his sin to all who saw it. Uzziah had leprosy, and as verse 21 says, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. The question may be asked, was his punishment justified? Couldn't God have punished him more lightly or even overlooked his sin? Well, I suppose that the easy answer is that as God is just and fair, then this punishment was just and fair, and that's an end to it. And in some ways, of course, it is. But if we look at the New Testament, we begin to understand the reason for the severity of it all. In Luke 12, verse 48, we read this. He who did not know, yet committed things worthy as stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And James, you know, warns his readers against becoming teachers, and he says, because, you know, we will receive a stricter judgment. You know, Uzziah had been greatly blessed by God, you know, spiritually, in prosperity and so forth. And God expected far more, far better from Uzziah than, well, perhaps the expected from anyone else in the country. And his crime was the greater because of that, because of his prosperity and the blessing that he had received from God. And therefore, it attracted the greater punishment. And as Christians, you know, we've been greatly blessed, haven't we? We've been blessed above all other men. We have been personally chosen to be saved, brought to God and been forgiven. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've become part of God's family. We've been born again. We could go on and on and on and on and on, couldn't we? Thinking about the blessings which we have. And we must be careful that we don't take the love of God for granted and think that we're just because, you know, we're Christians, that, you know, God will have to automatically forgive us and, you know, and that's an end to it and so forth. Even with the love of God, you know, we can and perhaps will be punished very quickly for time is beating us. You know, though God is love, he chastens, doesn't he, you know. Remember, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. But if we are without chastening, of which we have all become partakers, then we are illegitimate and not sons. It's because we are sons, because we are loved of the Lord, that we are chastened by God. And Uzziah should consider himself thankful that he wasn't put to death. You know, we read in Leviticus of Nadab and Ahihu, the sons of Aaron, and they each took a censer and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them to do. And so strange fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And God had said to Aaron that anyone other than he and his sons who came near the sanctuary must be put to death. Uzziah escaped death. And God's love, you know, is greater than our sins, isn't it? You know, God doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor punishes us according to our iniquities. It is through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, though we are punished by the Lord, even though Uzziah was punished by the Lord, it was far less than he deserved. And then perhaps even more quickly, let us just end by looking at the consequences of his leprosy. In verse 21, he dwelt in an isolated house. He was cut off from those that he loved. Again in verse 21. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. He could no longer go to the temple as he once did, and no doubt longed to do. In verse 21 again. Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Uzziah could no longer rule as he had once done. Probably at best his powers were limited, and he may have no power, even though he was perhaps king in name only. His power, his possessions, and more importantly, his ability to worship God were more or less taken away from him, and they were never restored to him. and even in death and burial we are reminded of his judgment. He was buried with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings, for it was said, he is a leper. Yes, he was buried with the kings in the royal graveyard, shall we say, the royal cemetery, but it wasn't among the kings because he is a leper. And if we learn nothing else but this, God takes sin seriously. We cannot sin and get away with it. Uzziah's situation, his punishment, reminded him continually to the end of his life just how bad sin is. For him, it was something literal. Well, it provides us with a picture of what sin does in the Christian's life. He dwelt in an isolated house. He was cut off from those he loved, from his family and the life of the court. And sin cuts us off from the family of God. It is when we walk with the Lord that in the light that we have fellowship one with another. When we are away from the Lord, even that fellowship is broken. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. He could no longer go into the house to worship as he once did. Sin spoils our enjoyment of God, and at the very least we can lose some of those joys and eternal pleasures. We are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit because sin strains our fellowship with him and we lose out on the blessing that he gives. Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the Lord. Uzziah could no longer rule as he had once done. He was king in name only. God had brought him to the throne so that he could rule the people, to be a blessing and to serve God. He could no longer do that, and the sinner is of little use to God. And even in death, we are reminded of his leprosy. He was reminded of his leprosy. He was buried with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for it was said, he is a leper. I don't think that this suggests for one moment that Uzziah went to hell. But, you know, most people, most commentators, you know, they picture Uzziah spending his days in regret and repentance. Well, you know, we're not told that Uzziah was repentant. Jeroboam, who was in many ways just as guilty as Uzziah and was punished by the Lord, sought restoration of his withered arm. And the king's hand, we are told, was restored to him and became as it was before. One hopes that Uzziah did not die a bitter, repentant man, resenting the punishment of God and all the time wishing that he was being allowed to offer incense. However, although we are not specifically told, I think it's right to assume that Uzziah was repentant for his sins, and he did that which was told, that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and that includes being repentant for sins. So I hope that he was repentant. But whatever, we can rejoice in this, that the Bible teaches that once saved, we are always saved. And I'm sure that Uzziah was saved and is in heaven. The saint may fall into great sin, but we believe, don't we, and the words of the Bible, that love covers all sins. And if we are told to forgive our brother up to 70 times 7, can we not expect Christ, our Heavenly Father, to do the same and to forgive us as his brothers and sisters when we sin? Uzziah was unfaithful to God. May God help us not to be unfaithful like Uzziah, but to walk in his ways so that we will know his eternal blessings. Amen.